Marty, before I say anything to you at all, just take a listen to this for a second or two. It's just about a half a minute long, in fact, less than that. And if I have it right, yes, I do. It's Terry Wogan talking about Limerick.
Limerick is where I grew up. This is where I spent the first 15 years of my life. And of course, the Jesuits always say, give me a boy until the age of seven, and he's mine forever. And I mean, I'm Limerick's. Yeah, I'm not going to change now. You know, all my formative years were spent here, at school, with my friends, cycling back and forward across Sarsfield Bridge, playing rugby in Thomond Park. You know, my heart is in Limerick.
There you go, Marty. My heart is in Limerick. Terry Wogan, who died today, cancer, it seems, at the age of 77. I, as I said earlier on, I didn't really know him at all. I met him once or twice. You did.
Yeah, well, he was just a terrific character to be with and terrific company. And when I went off on my skite out of Donnybrook for a couple of years, he was, I suppose, the Pied Piper for me. He was the reason, because he was someone I had grown up with, like the rest of us, listened to him or Gay and Larry and all the guys. But he was, for me, he was just a hero. He was just one of those people that I just adored on the radio. And when I got the chance to meet him, he was just as special as I had hoped he would be, and as much fun as I thought he'd be. He was just, he was great fun to be with. And it was very genuine. And he was just a person that you would kind of go, as I say, like himself and Gay, they're just very special broadcasters who were trailblazers for the likes of us.
And Marty, could I say, and could I go as far as, that if anybody like has mentors or people they have looked up to, I get the impression that you would have looked up to Terry Wogan more than probably anybody else.
It's very likely. Because we would have shared the same sense of humour. And we would have the same sense of fun about life. I mean, he loved P.G. Woodhouse, and I love all of that, and Spike Milligan, and all that nonsense. But he was terribly well read, and he was a very. But he was also somebody who could open a microphone without any script and go for it. And there's a lot to be said for that, and I'm a great believer in that too.
And would you have gone out of your way to listen to his kind of?
Well, I grew up. We'd go to school. I'd hear him in the mornings. Do you know?
Yeah,
I mean, you remember? You know, you listened to Ken Stewart as well. There was a lot of these guys, and Brendan Baff, a lot of these guys that we would have all heard as we grew up, and you and I would have charted a similar course over the years.
But even the BBC stuff, like in terms of the programmes that were groundbreaking, like in terms of the morning show and all that, which I didn't know that stuff, really, to be perfectly honest.
Well, I did. No, I did. Yeah. I listened to that. My mum would have it on the house and stuff, and the BBC Live programme and all that crack. So that was on, as was Radio Éireann. So I had the two things going on. And so, I mean, I remember But for me, Terry Wogan, and of course the Eurovision, you know, Terry was just a joy. And you know, I wouldn't be drinking Baileys only for Terry Wogan, because he introduced me to it.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it's a very good thing. when the voting's on, he was the one who gave me the Baileys, and I said, oh yeah, that's a nice touch.
And
he kind of welcomed me to the Eurovision family,
Marty,
which was lovely.
You have a little thing where you get the nice friendly knife into the Eurovision, regardless of how much you like it. You like to sort of take the piss out of it, if you like.
I do, absolutely. But
Terry,
I think it's a great
Terry
event.
Terry Wogan was the first to do that too, wasn't he?
Yeah. But they didn't like him for it. They didn't like him at all for it.
We had that earlier on. He said that.
But I mean, you know, and I have had a few of them frown on me too, but because they take it desperately seriously. But I don't know. It is a mad event. But he made it his own. And I think anybody who does it, and I have met colleagues, you know, be they German or French, whatever they are, they try to make it their own as well. And I think that influence has come across for many of us, without question. It's about joy de vivre. It's about love and life. And he did. He really did. He liked. He liked a good meal. He liked a good glass of wine. He liked a nice time. And he was a brilliant, brilliant broadcaster. But you know what, Dave? He was also a lovely man.
Yeah, and I know
that sounds kind of cliche.
And just finally, on the little kind of foray, as you call it, that you took out of here, he was part of that, wasn't he? Around 97, 98?
Yeah, he was. And, you know, I remember about when I was just about to sign on the dotted line, I got the phone call, and who was it? Only Terry. Saying welcome aboard. I think it was just a case I didn't sign the bit of paper, but he was gorgeous, you know. And we'd meet at the Eurovision, and I had gone over a few times over the years. And I mean, you know, I was just one of many who adored him. But his company was exceptional.
All
and
right,
his talent
listen,
was
Marty. Thanks so much for taking the call. Good morning,
not at all,
sad
thanks
day
for
that it is. Marty Whelan. Thanks a million, Marty. Good luck.
Cheers,
take it easy. All right.